Hello and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Man with the Gents Clinic. Six South African male medical doctors on a mission to change the way in which we perceive healthcare. Today we have a very interesting guest. I always love having sports icons, sports figures. You may know him, you may have seen him on your phone, tablet, or you may have seen him slap someone very hard. In the comfort of your own home. Today, we are joined by none other than Daniel Christoffel van Heerden, a.k.a. the Pitbull, a professional power slap fighter. Welcome, Danny.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And then I just need to add, you've probably seen me from TikTok as well.
Yes.
Most of the kids TikTok and YouTube.
That's definitely, definitely. I've seen you, Danny. I've seen a few of your slaps, and I've shaken your hands now, and I understand.
So, since you are a doctor, have you judged me?
Have
on
I
the
judged
slaps?
You?
Yeah.
Have I judged you?
No,
on
that's
the,
what we're gonna get into. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to get into that.
Okay.
We want to get into that.
I can't take him out now.
No.
Not yet. Okay. So, tell me, Danny. Let's start off with the basics. Where are you from?
From Pretoria.
Okay, Pretoria, like. Main Pretoria or like...
Pretoria East.
Yeah.
Originally from a town called Meyerton.
Meyerton, okay.
Meyerton. It's more to the Vaal side.
Okay.
Originally from there, moved to Pretoria East.
And you grew up there?
Yeah. So in the last 3 years, now Pretoria East.
Okay. What was your upbringing like? Rough? You grew up in a nice, peaceful home?
Tough love. We are 13 kids, 7 boys, 6 girls. My father with...
One mother?
No.
Okay.
Six
we did
mothers.
Have to make sure.
Six mothers. Okay. One father, though.
Wait. 6 mothers.
Yes.
Okay.
One father.
Okay.
But the only father that look after 13 kids. You don't get that today.
Mm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's murdered.
Okay.
2018.
Okay.
But he would have fought Pierre Kutzer for the heavyweight title back in 1981.
Boxing.
From there, my younger brother became the IBO welterweight world champion in boxing.
Okay.
Moved to the States, now there for 10 years. My youngest brother fought in France. He fought for the title. Unfortunately, he lost on points.
Okay. Boxing also.
Boxing also. My oldest brother became the middleweight kickboxing champion back in 2099. My sister Vuma is actually an artist.
Okay.
Sings.
Okay.
So we are a family which road has been paved. If you don't achieve success, I don't know what the excuse is.
But it's like you must achieve that success, at least from the boys, with your hands. Your hands must
with your hands,
take
huh?
you to that success.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So sure. you grew up in obviously a home where you were exposed to combat sports. And that being boxing was the main one.
You're exposed to no excuses, and you have to do what you want to do.
Mm.
Yeah. So, with my father, you never come with the excuse. If you wanted to do something, you need to show him you wanted to do it.
Mm. Ah. So if you came to him and said, listen, I want to be a ballerina, he would say, listen, that's fine, but show me that. Put that tutu on.
Yes, unless. So for me, he would always said, are you running? I'll be like, yo, to the kitchen when I'm hungry. And then he used to get so mad at me. It's like, and now I'm on this level. Unfortunately, he's not yet to see this, but yeah, we made it.
100%, man. What a beautiful journey. So tell me, you started off, when was your first exposure to combat sports?
You're probably at the age of 5.
5, huh?
5. So we had a sensei called James Vermaak back in the Vaal. He was actually teaching karate in a primary school. So as we grew up with a father that's in combat sports, you had to do your schoolwork, your school chores, and also sports. So with my father, there was no time for drinking, no time for clubbing. You're going to work, you're going to do sports.
Well, you were in primary school at the time, so we assume.
Yeah.
You were drinking and clubbing.
But even our upbringing, because we were 13 kids.
Yeah.
So we were, at that time, 8 kids in the house. I'm more or less the 7 oldest. So that was the journey already planned for us.
Ah.
And if you said, no, you're not going to do the combat sports, he would make sure you are busy with other work.
Mm.
You're not just going to sit there. He would always say in Afrikaans, "Yeah, lay up my neck," which I sort of learned on now, because if I've got someone that's just there and don't want to do anything, it doesn't work for me.
Mm.
It doesn't work.
So then you start, your first encounter with combat sports karate. Progress to what next?
Yo, karate. I turned professional in mixed martial arts back in 2009.
Okay.
From there, I achieved...
And your base of mixed martial arts came from karate or boxing?
Came from wrestling and boxing.
Okay.
So in my luck, most fighters would think my background is boxing, because all my brothers did boxing, my father did boxing, but I also did wrestling.
Okay.
Came second in SAs. But from there, turned professional 2009, mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts.
Got the heavyweight title 2016 in EFC. From there, I moved to boxing professionally. Got my pro boxing license. So that's my second sport professional. Fought all the way up to number 5 in SAs. From there, I moved to K1.
I fought kickboxing.
Kickboxing. So I moved. I got one win, one loss there. From there, I moved to Muay Thai. All professional licenses.
Fought Muay Thai.
Still undefeated in Muay Thai. Oh. From there, obviously, COVID happened. I transitioned to bare-knuckle boxing.
Okay.
Due to COVID,
Jesus.
Never managed to get a fight, but got my license in there. So I've got 5 licenses.
Okay.
From there, fought at Last Fighter Standing. I don't know if you remember a while back, 2016, there was an MMA organization called UFC versus South Africa.
Okay.
Called Last Fighter Standing. You get a license under All Stars Fight League. Got my license there.
Okay.
Became the champion there.
And that's MMA?
It's a faster version of MMA. So the rules is a bit different. From the bell, from the go, you got 8 seconds to engage. If you clinch onto a guy, you got 20 seconds to do something. If you're on the floor, 20 seconds to submit him, or they stand you up.
Okay.
So it's a much faster version of MMA.
Ah, okay.
Then from there, obviously, COVID again. Slap fight happened. So here's the thing about slap fight. So slap fight.
That all came out through COVID, right? That's the origin story.
All came out due to COVID. And then...
How did it start?
It's actually saw a video on TikTok about a guy calling out everyone. I'm like, I've got background. I can do this.
In South Africa, this guy.
Just calling out.
Just
saying,
calling out the whole world.
Just saying, hey, whoever wants to come slap me.
So in my mind, I'm like, have you ever done anything combat before? You don't call out just anyone.
Yeah.
Because we've got a pedigree in this. We've been around the block, if
there's
I can say.
Yeah. There's respect also.
There's respect. So then you get these guys coming in with no respect. They don't understand sports and how they want to be the next big thing.
Mm.
Okay, so then we met up.
So wait, this is a South African guy?
South African guy.
He just, what background did he have? He just was like, hey, come
zero.
Slap me.
He swam when he was in matric. He swam a bit of 100 meters. And he probably played PlayStation. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I want someone to come and challenge me in a slap.
Yes, because apparently he was trying to get the slap competition going. Mm. And it never happened in South Africa. So I'm like, yeah, because no offense, but you are nobody trying to call out anyone. You don't do it that way. Mm. There's a sequence how you do any sports.
Mm.
You need to learn yourself. You need to get respected. From there, your coaches normally teach you the way.
Mm-hmm.
Any case, I still remember I told my wife, you know what, I'm a professional athlete in 7 licenses. In 7 different sports, I've got 7 pro licenses. I told my wife, if I compete in slap fighting in South Africa, say my opponent dies, I'm on for culpable homicide. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I'm not going to do it. Because I know the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Mm.
In my same time, I'm thinking, you know what, if we can do this and we can make it viral, we might make it a bit bigger.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. Let's just see. I did it. I knocked out my opponent for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
I got a fright. I was shaking. I was thinking, if this guy dies, I'm going to jail. So all that.
But did they make you sign something if someone dies?
They do, but. Yeah. If you sign indemnity form, they call it indemnity forms. In South Africa, it's a law. You're not allowed to sign indemnity forms to know you can die. It's against the law.
Mm.
So but that's not allowed.
So if there's a risk of you could die, you can't sign that.
You're not allowed to sign it. It's against the law. You can get, you can. They can open a case against you for that.
Okay.
Most of the new guys, they don't understand it because they think of something and then they want to host an event.
Mm.
Which, if you don't know, have any background on it, you're taking big risk.
Mm.
Any case, we did it. Luckily, my opponent woke up. I was very glad. We then started our own promotion in South Africa, trying to do it as clean as possible.
Mm.
I then challenged the biggest guy in the Val.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Called Chris de Blok, Duplessis. Mm. So he had arms like this. He had a neck like this. I gave him everything I could.
Now, wait, hold on. He is also a professional slap fighter, or was he just a professional fighter?
He's a professional guy in the gym. Other than that, zero combat.
Wait, so bodybuilding?
Bodybuilding.
Okay, but he challenged you.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, this guy got no experience.
Yeah.
He's probably going to die if it goes that far.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's a prize, man. Gave you everything I got, and he was standing. He slapped my cheek like this for 2 weeks. I was on a liquid diet, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So back then, I still weighed 130 kilograms.
Now you're about 150.
Now I'm 170 kilograms. And I'm still the smallest abroad. So my opponents weigh 400 plus pounds.
What? Jeez. So you've been bulking from that time.
I've been eating McDonald's and Spur nonstop since that time.
Yes.
So I heard the other doctor said, you know what, he felt my hand. Let me tell you, hand size, my hands fits the internationals here.
Mm.
So it's definitely not about hand size.
Yeah.
Definitely not. There's also some rules regarding the slap fight.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we get to the rules.
Yeah, so I want to know your origin story is people were just calling people out. Hey, come, they heard about this. But where, do you know, like, the origin of where did, like, who held the first? Oh,
Russia.
Of course
Russia. So Russia, there's currently a guy in Power Slap. We call him the Dumpling or Vasily. He's got a difficult surname. He started, he was part of the organization in Russia. And he actually got signed to Power Slap recently. He had his first opponent. He knocked him out cold the first slap. And then he got matched with the current champion, Crazy Wine. And that ended up in a draw. And now they're actually rematching 3 January in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow.
So from the legend to the current champion competing in Saudi now 30 January.
Oh, nice. So they started in Russia, right? They started their first, like, league. Do you know, like, who came up with the concept? Or did someone just say, hey, let's slap each other?
Let me tell you, Russia is probably like South Africa. You can try some stuff, but there's risk involved.
Yeah.
But then, luckily, Dana White came along the line.
Yeah.
And Dana White got this sanctioned. So now you actually get a professional license to compete in slap fight.
Yeah.
So now we're allowed to knock out a guy and hope he doesn't wake up. So it's allowed now. But your medicals, your procedure you go through before you compete, it's a lot. They test everything. They test your brain. They test your joints. They test blood tests. They test urine tests. They test your activity, your joints and stuff. They test your heart. They test behind your eyeball if you've got blood. They test your vision. They test everything to make sure you're 100%. Then you compete.
And they don't do that with other fighting?
They probably do, but I think with slap fighting, it's insane.
Because Why do you think that is? Club straight to your...
probably because you have to stand and take it. This is the only sport you have to stand and take.
Yeah, you can't. There's no dodging. There's nothing. Yes.
So, and obviously, since you're a doctor, you know, if your brain touches your skull, that's your body telling you, you know what, I'm switching off. I need to save you for the next slap.
That's why that guy's out for 9 minutes. His brain was, concussion.
If we have to debate this, a slap fight, you only take 3 slaps on competition. A title match, 5 slaps. Mm. That's all you take. In training, I train like a bodybuilder, but I don't eat like one.
Yeah, okay.
That's the difference. But if you compare boxing to slap fight, if you would have fought a title match, you would probably train 12 rounds plus every week. You would take between 100 to 1,000 blows to your head. Although it's with a glove, but that's constant moving. And then you get a title match, that's you take another 12 rounds worth of punches to the head. So if you have to compare that to slap fight, although slap fight looks insane, I still think boxing is more dangerous.
Even though the force with which you're getting, because you may be getting 1,000 punches, but you're getting, you know, majority of those are jabs, not real, like, significant strikes.
I'm gonna argue with you there.
Okay.
So boxing, your whole body is allowed to move and twist. With slap fight, your feet is not allowed to lift or twist. So you only got the top weight to rotate.
Oh, I see.
You're not allowed to bend the arm like a boxer would. Boom, it needs to be a straight arm.
Straight arm.
Not allowed to palm strike. So all three points of your hand must land the same time on your face.
So from here to here to here must all land same time. So if you hit them here, that's
a foul.
That's a foul. If you're hitting them with
if you eat like this, it's a foul. If you eat like this, it's a foul.
Because, okay. So it has to be flat hand, straight hand, and just hua.
And they're probably watching with slow motion after every hit.
Super slow motion. So here's another thing. If you hit with your hand basically here, so fingers over the ear and palm on your cheek, that's called a club. Because your palm strikes the jaw, which is the dangerous part. So that's called a club. So you get points deducted. So on a 3-round match, if you get 2 points deducted, to gain that point is going to be difficult. So you need to aim with your middle finger on your ear and then this way down. So the bigger your hands are, the further your palm is from the jaw. So to knock out a guy with your fingers, it's tough. It's tough. But then again, my opinion, any punch can damage you. Anyone, whether it's boxing, MMA, slap fight, tortilla one. So, you know.
There's a science to how to...
100%.
Yeah, you're not allowed to hit higher than the eye level.
Okay.
You're not allowed to hit lower than the jawline, because here you can break a jaw, which is also illegal. So if anyone tells you, you know what, I broke some guy's jaw, you know what, you did an illegal strike.
Oh, I see.
So if I would knock you out and I would lift or twist my feet, I get disqualified.
Okay.
Because I'm not keeping by the rules.
I see.
So, which means you're adding more power towards the slap.
Because the obvious scary thing about traumatic head injury is that CTE, the chronic traumatic encephalopathy, you keep getting hit in the head and then it causes like literally brain nerve damage, right? And over time you get like Parkinson's, like what
Muhammad Ali
has and all those kind of things. And also like, so you say that it's safer in slapping than in any other...
If I have to compare sport, I would say slap fight is the safest.
Safest.
My opinion.
In terms of contact sports, we're talking.
In terms of contact.
Would you say it's like safer than even like normal other sports like rugby or something else?
Even rugby. If you take percentage on rugby players, how many rugby players get injured daily? Every day you hear of someone. Boxers you hear yearly. Slap fight, this has been going on for 2 years. I can't think of...
But don't you think maybe as the numbers grow and more people join, you're going to hear more?
But even if you think... But the way he's explaining it makes complete sense. Like, slapping is safer than rugby. Like, you can choose location. Location is set, right? It's not going to be on the head. No weird angles that's going to hit something. You're not going to get, like, injury to your eye or whatever. It's like all... You're limited to this area, right?
To just that area, yes.
And there's no... And the force is also less.
In power slap, is there guys over the past few years that are maybe lost movement in their arms or hands or...
Well, let me tell you, my second last opponent, Makini Manu, I slapped him so hard, he couldn't hear, smell or feel afterwards. And he's been on the bench for a year.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's because he's just squealing like a normal guy looking for attention. Or
are you serious? He couldn't... So I know that with the...
I clubbed him, which is not allowed. But normally you would get a point deduction, which was supposed to happen. But I think normally if anything happens which you go down or you drop a knee or you get knocked down, a doctor would first first call a doctor on stage. And then the doctor would analyze you to see if you are there. So mentally, as a fight, you would think you are there, but you're like this.
Yeah.
And if the doctor sees, you know what, you're not there, he stops it. He calls the fight. And my opponent was bleeding. The doctor said, can you hear? He's like, no. I'm like, but your arms, you must be scared. Any case, so we joke around to say, you know what, you couldn't hear, smell or feel because his nose was bleeding. So with that amount of impact, you slap. So this is roughly 988 kilograms per square inch. Well, that's my power.
Okay. That's your average slap.
That's my hardest slap.
That's so your hardest slap that you've...
So it's roughly a ton to the cheek.
Yeah, Nhlanhla, you still want to take a slap.
Yeah, because you said Nhlanhla's going to take the slap
after. Yeah, he's going to take the slap after the episode. Okay, but the thing is, like, we hear... So I've been watching Power Slap since it's come. I'm a big MMA fan, big UFC fan. So I've heard, like, Dana talking about Power Slap, and he's very, very, very pro Power Slap. He thinks it's the future. He thinks this is the next biggest sport after MMA. What do you think?
I'm going to agree with him.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you
tell
guys
us why it's so exciting. Why is this so interesting?
Because doesn't matter for the people supporting it or dissing it, they all want to see the knockout.
That's true.
So if you have been at a live event or you ever seen a live event, you are sitting like this. You don't go get drinks. You don't look away. You don't check at your phone. You watch this because you're going to miss the knockout. And it can happen instantly.
Mm.
So for me, this is the only sport which, for example, if we get match up, I can see the fear in your eyes.
Yeah.
But if I slap you with everything I got and you recover in that 30 seconds or 2 minutes, depending on your injury, I can from there see that, or you can then see my fear in my eyes. Mm. This is like this constantly.
Yeah. Mm.
That's from a fighter point of view. Mm. So if you are spectators, you know what, if I'm going to slap my opponent, you think it's a knockout. Mm. But say he takes it like a brick wall, and you're like, oh, and I'm supporting him. So
that's why, because you can actually, you know someone is, well, you know regardless, because you could watch a whole MMA fight, and the guys kind of grapple a bit, jab, move away, try to win on points. But yeah, nobody's trying to win on points. If they win by points, they win. But the motive here is there's no other strategy other than I'm going to knock this guy cold out.
Yeah. True, because if you knock out a guy, you get a bonus. Mm. So South Africa conversion, you get a $10,000 bonus.
Woo! 200 grand.
So to knock out a guy, our currency, you want to knock out everyone that's in front of you. So
now when the call comes from, I'll say Dana White, the UFC, how does that feel? What's going on, your home, your family?
Everything in my mind says, everything can wait now. I'm going this way. Yes, Dana, I'm coming.
How did that happen?
Well, let me tell you, 2 years ago, I had a guy scouting me via Instagram. Mm. And he had like 2 posts and 5 followers telling me, you know what, you want to go to Power Slap?
How? Who is this guy?
Exactly. Who is this guy? So now I'm thinking, yes, this is a scam. Because we're from South Africa.
We
80% of stuff is scams. Yeah. So I'm thinking, I'm not going to give any information to this guy. Because what's the chances Power Slap pick me? What's the chances? I kept him on a line for 1 year. 12 months. This guy, gone. Eventually I'm like, you know what, if this is true, let Dana phone me directly. Here's my stuff.
Yeah.
They scheduled a Zoom call. And I'm sitting in the Zoom call. They have this interview with me. I couldn't even remember half of the stuff they said, but I was like, if I just said yes 12 months ago.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, 12 months ago.
Sure.
So now, obviously, I know the money they pay, or the purse. Mm. So now I'm thinking, you're 12 months ago.
You
could have had 6 matches. Ish. Could have made that money. I could have been on the leagues that I'm now. Yeah. But in my mind, I'm thinking all of this. I'm thinking, yo, imagine me with Trikas and Sean Strickland and meeting Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Mm. Also normal South African. And it happens. So.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing. I want to continue the conversation, but producer wants to show how hard you slap so that the people actually know who we're talking to. So let's play a clip from one of Danny's fights. Do you call them fights?
Well, it depends. Normal athletes like boxers and martial artists won't call them fights. They would call them strikes or slaps.
Because
we're not that fit, obviously. This is the only sport you can basically come from the couch and compete. If you can take a slap, you can make it big.
Easy.
Fair blow.
We're here all day.
Yo. Oh, is that the only one? Hey, we want to see him slap someone. Yeah, huh? That's we don't want to see him taking a slap.
He's our South African representative. You're representing South Africa. People don't understand that
he... How many South Africans are in Power Slap? Is it just you?
Currently, it's me and Christine. So, also a mixed martial arts woman. Mm. She competed twice. Unfortunately, she lost. But there's only two South Africans currently on that level. Soon, there will be more. I'm not going to say anything now, but soon they will.
There are going to be more. But, like, also with Power Slap, I've only ever seen, like, massive monsters that step on that stage. It's not like, you don't get, like, a middle, do you get middleweight and, like, featherweight slap bouts?
You actually get all the different weight divisions, same as in martial arts. You get the lightweight, you get middleweight, you get light heavyweight.
But surely that's not as entertaining to watch. I mean, I haven't watched a featherweight slap match, but I don't want to see two sticks just...
It doesn't look like the super heavyweights. Yeah. I mean, the super heavyweights, you know, you're getting hit with the truck.
Yeah.
You're not just getting hit, you're getting hit with the truck. But I must say, the women are quite entertaining. They give a slap, so if you look at it, you think...
Because, I mean, that's what we're used to seeing outside the club. Women are slapping each other. Men don't slap each other outside the club.
Yeah, men don't slap. So then you get Sheena. She's also a mannequin representative. She slapped the lady so hard. The lady made a front roll.
Yes. Yo.
Full power. And she only weighs like 56 kilograms.
56? And she slapped a woman to somersault. Yes.
Yeah.
Now tell me, while we're waiting for a video of your slap... what are the most common injuries that you get? Because I've actually watched, I think you guys put like something in your ear.
You put normal vata in your ear?
Or that, what?
What's vata? Earplug. So not a normal earplug we know of, which you use in combat sports. It's a white one. A little bit. So you normally put it through your teeth. You
use it through your teeth. Oh, yeah. Those things that you come out of the dentist with that are in there.
You use that for your ear on the international level. You also wear gum guards.
Oh, so you wear a full gum guard.
But what I would say the common injuries is arms. Okay. Because normal people would slap elbow behind the arm. So if you slap a brick wall, this happens. So you injure this muscle and you can't use your arm.
Oh, okay.
Because you need to drop your elbow down and keep your hand straight. So when you hit the wall, this can happen.
Oh,
you can still go through.
I see.
So the technique gets wrong, you just hit...
But then you can burst your eardrum.
Not so much, because if you aim on this side and you extend your arm, there's no way for you to go past that. You get some of the guys that can't aim, but it's only a finger on your ear. Okay. I've never seen a guy in Power Slap which take the full palm on your ear. I've never seen
that. If you're saying if they hit the palm on the ear... Bust.
It's probably a bust, but it's also immediate disqualification.
Because you aim before, right? So you have to aim, and then you don't go past that.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you aim, normal, if you haven't slept before ever, you would probably just aim like this. But if you extend that shoulder, there's no way you can go past that level.
Oh, so even if you miss, you're going to come maybe a bit short, but you're not going
to only go higher and lower, but you won't never be able to go back.
So you extend, when you're measuring, you extend your shoulder so there's no way you can go past. Mm-hmm. And then I see you wind up like a few times. Is there a set number of times that you're allowed
That's your own decision.
So you can wind up 5 times if you want, 10 times.
So the only, if you go on one, that's the only time you do not have to aim. So you can go one from here and then slap.
Okay.
For me personally, I've never done that before. In my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to miss. I would normally go on three. Of course, I would aim, get it ready, and then think of the power and then slap.
Yeah.
You are allowed to change arms in between. But I can't aim left, so I'm keeping this one safe.
So you hit with one hand only, all the strikes.
Yes.
And then, so you were telling us about the rules. Tell us a little bit about the rules.
Okay, so the rules.
You've told us about how you can slap. We know the arm. Any other rules that we need to know?
Okay,
about?
So on a striker point of vision, that's the guy slapping first. That all determines the coin flip. So whoever wins the coin flip goes first.
Mm.
Okay, so from the striker.
Is it obviously it's an advantage to go first? Because you could knock the guy out.
If you can aim.
First slap.
Because if I knock you out with a foul, I'm getting disqualified. So if you can aim, it's an advantage. If you can't aim, disadvantage. And obviously, if you slap on three, you need to say right on three or left on three.
Then what you do you mean right slap. On three? So you can, you have three swings.
Yeah.
Three but swings I can
do one
and
on,
then,
I can do right one and then I'd slap. But I need to tell you on which one I'm going to hit. Oh. It's unlike a bar fight, we yeah. just get in. You know it's, no coming. Way
it's coming
on that one. So okay. either left or right.
So one, two, and then the third one I'm expecting.
Three, yes. Okay. Unless I go right on two, then it's one, two.
And then bang, two.
So going right or left on one, that's the only time you're not allowed to, you don't have to aim. You can just slap.
Okay.
Also, striker point of view, you're not allowed to lift
yep.
or twist your feet. Your feet need to be stationed. So you can only put in so much power.
Yeah.
For the defender, arms obviously behind your back. You keep that noodle. You need to tense up, so you need to pull this traps tight.
Mm.
And you need to bite down. Because obviously an open jaw gets you knocked out.
Yeah, nice.
You need to bite out, and then you need to station that position. When the strike comes, I'm not allowed to move. I'm not allowed to flinch. So as a defender, you're not allowed to do anything else. You're not
you
even
just
allowed
have to
talk.
Stand there and take.
Not even allowed to talk, because if I flinch this up and I'm talking, the super slow motion cameras see it as flinching.
Okay.
Yo.
So you need to keep your mouth shut, bite down, take it.
But how do you train to do that? How do you train yeah. to take
to
a punch?
To take a slap.
You have a father that would have fought Pierre Kutz in 1981. So you can either take a slap or you can't take a slap. I think that's
yeah.
in wrestling you've got some ways to obviously train that.
Mm.
I'm not gonna say that on air because it's my technique.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is ways to train that. But definitely if you can take a slap, you're already 60% in, because anyone can give a slap.
Mm.
Also,
so you think it's more important to learn to know how to take a slap rather
definitely.
Than to give it. And in terms of a power slap fighter's mentality, because we had another fighter that joined us here, Faiz Jacobs. He's a welterweight in the EFC, welterweight champion.
Okay.
And he was telling us about, like, even in the build-up to the fight, you know, just staring your opponent down, you look, you show them emotion in the eyes
from the start.
But now you're telling me, like, in power slap, like, it's not about the necessarily being the aggressor. It's being able to take what this guy is giving you
yeah.
and not showing fear.
Definitely. So I would, if I have to rate any other combat sports to power slap, I would say any other sports is mentally tougher, because you need to cut weight, you need to train, you need to get out of bed at four, you need to train for 4 weeks, 6 weeks for a fight. So you need to stay motivated and confident for 6 weeks. Up to that match. And then again, if you win or lose, same thing. Power slap, you don't train like a martial artist. You don't train like a boxer. You can do it twice a week. So you can sit and play games with the kids, for example. You don't have that mentality at all. Obviously, on stage, that's a different set, because now you need to stand there knowing you're going to get slapped by 170 kilograms, and you need to be not to be able to flinch.
Sure.
So if you take it, obviously, in that split second, his mentality needs to start working.
Mm.
Because if it's not working, I can guarantee you, you're going to flinch.
Sure.
So I would say that's...
Have you ever flinched?
Never.
Never?
Never. I only failed once in my life, got disqualified on that, but other than that, never flinch.
Sure.
So I would say... Power slap, the mentality only starts on stage. That's the toughest part.
So you weren't intimidated at all when you got there to America and checking these guys?
So
out?
Let me tell you, at first, I sized myself up. So I see heavyweights. I'm like, these guys are my division. We're the same size.
Mm.
And then I met the super heavyweights. So they are 420 pounds. So nearly 200 kilograms. And
yeah.
then I weighed 140.
Mm.
So they were like a head size taller than me. Their hand size is like two finger slices bigger. I'm like, yo, if I have to make weight, I need to cut off this leg to be in this division. So to be honest, that's what I thought. And then obviously we were in the house. So it's a 2 week like road to the UFC. They put the guys in the house. You have to have two fights to win, then get to the then you get a UFC contract. So with the Power Slap, they did the
same.
So
is UFC is under, Power Slap is under UFC?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in Power Slap, they did Road to the Title. They put 30 guys in the house. You have to do two competitions, back to back, a week out apart. If you lose, you go home. If you win, you get a contract.
Shucks.
So mentally, that was the toughest because they take away your phone. You're not allowed to talk to your loved ones. You need to make conversation with a guy from another language, another country. 30 people in the house, same fridge, all the same food. You need to do laundry. You need to bath in between. So 30 guys in the house.
And no phone, no contact with the outside. You're just preparing yourself. You're sizing all these guys
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so that was like in the old days probably when you know that you have no network or cell phone. You're like, I probably need to talk to this guy. Yeah. So then you actually start all the old stuff. You start playing Monopoly and you get to know your guy. Okay. But even then, you start sizing them up. And then my first lap, I remember in the house, I started getting under his skin because that's what us South Africans do. You need to get under his skin to get in his mind.
Was he an American guy?
Was the guy from Houston, Texas.
Ah, okay.
Jonathan Booner. And then I just knew I had him long before the fight.
Mm.
The fight happened. I slapped him. He slapped me. I slapped him. He slapped me. And then he just quit. Couldn't balance. He was out. Doctor called it. They said, TKO, he's not fine.
Yo.
They called the fight. They stopped him. And at first, I didn't know the rules. I'm like, you need to come back here. I still got to slap. So he slaps me and then he quits. Like, yeah,
he quit after
he slapped.
Yeah, so you slap me and then you run away. I'm like, when you get to the house, I'm going to sort you out. He never came back.
Sure.
Went to the doctors and then he had to have a 2-week layover for recovery. So he didn't come back to the house. I couldn't talk to him afterwards. But then they explained to me, you know what, the doctor called it because he had injury. So then I understand. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Then from there, I had a next opponent. I got under his skin the first hour. So in my mind, I'm like, this is going to be easy match. I won the coin toss and I slapped him. I knocked him out first slap. That was over. And from there, I'm hooked.
Sure.
Doing this for a year now.
And then you got your contract that was a year ago.
And now I'm number 3 in the world.
Yeah.
But now I weigh 170 kilograms. So.
I want to know how you get to
170. Before we get anywhere further, I really need to know. So you went from 130, which is already very large, and you were, I'm assuming back then, training a lot of mixed martial arts, boxing, all of those things. So maybe that's what was keeping the weight down because a lot more cardio and that type of thing. How did you manage? I know you just said I've been eating McDonald's and
so,
Spur.
First of all, you get this.
Yeah.
So if you get this, you then eat and sleep. And then you get here.
Is that your wedding ring?
This is my wedding ring.
Okay. I've never seen a wedding ring this big. Can you see this?
Two of my fingers.
I can put two fingers. I can probably put two fingers in this. Sure. No, this is insane, man.
But you were fit at 130 kgs.
Were you fitter then?
If I would compare that to any other martial arts, it wasn't even close to what I'm used to being at. But at 130, I was fitter than what I am now, but the slaps are softer.
Mm. Of course.
Slaps are softer.
And so the power increased with the weight, is that?
Yes, because the flexibility and rotation gets more.
When you get heavier?
Yeah.
Okay.
So unless you're not mobile, that's a different story. So I'm not Jimmy Abbott fat.
Yeah.
I'm just relaxed muscle. There's a difference.
Yeah.
So if you're flexible, the wind-up can come from Cape Town to North America.
But how? But I still want to know, how did you, like, what's a daily diet for you? What are you eating?
Well, my wife's only trying to get me 3 meals a day. It's difficult. It works against my anger or my patience.
Yeah. Only 3 meals a day and you still manage to maintain 170 kilos?
Oh, she's trying to make me skinny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But how did you get to 170?
You eat.
How many meals a day?
No, you eat constantly. It's no meals. If you're done, you do the next one.
It's just eat it. Like, how many calories? Did you even count?
No, I never counted, but it's all of them.
All of the calories.
Toilet. Eat, sleep.
Yeah, so and like any cardio, you're not doing any cardio. I'm assuming you're not doing much cardio.
I'm doing cardio.
Okay, just to keep your heart alive.
I'm at it. What do you mean? I'm doing cardio. I'm at the bottom. It's called cardio.
At least, hey, your cardio is cardio, however you get it.
Anyway, so our daily routine would be, we would do a spur in the morning,
yeah.
Breakfast. I'll take the small breakfast because an hour from there, I need to eat normal breakfast. This year, my wife said 2025, we're going to wake up at 4 so I can get in 2 more meals.
Yeah.
Sure.
So at 5, you can eat. You can go back to bed, sleep, and then by 7, you can eat again.
Yeah.
And then 9, when Spur opens, you can do normal breakfast. So it's just snacks in between and then...
Sure.
So from here, it will be McDonald's and then the house. And then normal supper.
Yo. Last question. What's your favorite food?
Yo. Well, I've been in America now. I would say McPhee's Deluxe now.
McDonald's,
McPhee's Deluxe.
Really? Yeah. As a South African, you were telling us McDonald's is number
compared
one.
To America, because America do not have McPhee's Deluxe. But otherwise, obviously, Braai Vleis is the best.
Yeah. You can't beat a good Braai.
I'm busy moving there, not fully based yet. Got some paperwork to sign out, and then we'll probably be there, say, not yet later than June next year.
I just wanted to know, do they test for steroids in power slap? They do. I was watching a comedian who said all sports must stop testing for steroids. Let guys blast themselves to the
moon and see
what happens.
I think it'll be more interesting.
I think people would do it overboard. They would.
Yeah. I think people would kill themselves trying to get. But I can tell you, we'd see people getting slapped out the cage.
Well, imagine taking 4 mils of roids and you get slapped out by a skinny guy.
Brunei,
chicken fillets and egg whites.
Nice. Look, we've run out of time, Danny, but before we leave, I think we have to show the clip of Danny smacking someone, because we can't just see Danny getting smacked. We also want to see
this
is our pride and joy, man. We knew that it had to be a South African that was going to go and show the world how to give a proper puss clap.
Afrikaner.
Afrikaner.
So I need to add this. So Americans ask me, what does it mean if we say PK?
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? It's like you say it's a beach slap, but that's like the baby version.
That's great. So it's you now. We've got Drikus. Anybody else on the horizon coming up? South African fighters, whether it's UFC, whether it's...
Yes, there's one guy. He will fly down with me to Saudi. I'm not allowed to say his name yet.
Okay.
Because
Power Slap
needs to release it first.
Okay.
But we got one guy. I'm going to show him the ropes, and then we have to represent South Africa.
Nice, 100%. Nice, nice. 100%, yeah. Nice. Slap them into oblivion.
That's it.
You set your position here.
All right.
Which hand and what count?
Watch your feet, Dan, okay?
And three.
Right on same guy. Three. Same guy. Right, the right guy that, on three.
Very big headache, and he quit after he slapped me.
Oh, this is that same fight?
Yeah.
Two. Beautiful.
Whoa.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Man, you see the size of it.
You don't know where he's at, man. You don't know where he's at.
Sure, is this where he gets dizzy and he can't?
Four.
And then how much time do they have to recover?
Six.
So normally, after that, you have 2 minutes to recover.
Better start.
If I did a foul.
Okay.
But on the foul, I drop the slap. That's 30 seconds.
30 seconds. If you can't stand up, it's over.
Perfect. So it falls, perfectly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you have 2 minutes to recover from the...
Yeah, but if it's not a club, 30 seconds. You need to be in your box by 30 seconds. If you're not in your box, meaning by your box, next to the table, they got it marked off.
100%.
If you're not there in 30 seconds, you lose the fight in your throat. Yeah.
I'm sure some guys, in 30 seconds, they get there, but you can see this guy is not...
I've been dropped once, ever in my life, by the current champion. He did a perfect palm strike. I could feel my brain move inside my head. I never knew I went down. I only saw that on a video.
He was defending it against you, eh? His title.
He was defending it against me.
Oh, okay.
I was the first guy that went 5 rounds with him. I was the first opponent that got knocked down and got back up ever.
Yo. And you got up in 30 seconds.
I could feel my brain move, but in my mind, I felt this, doof, and I'm like, okay, I'm at stage. But if I see the video, I actually went down and got up.
Jesus.
So that got erased. I was like in a 5-minute free
holiday. Amnesia, loss of consciousness.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Danny, for joining us in the studio. We've run out of time, unfortunately. I would have loved to keep this conversation going. I think there's so much that we don't know about this new sport. I think it's exciting to see more South African fighters getting their recognition on a global stage. So thank you for joining us, just sharing the insights. I'm sure a lot of young South Africans are going to be watching this and looking to slap people in the near future.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us, Danny, on this very insightful episode. That's another episode from us here at the Gents Clinic with Let's Talk Man. My name is Dr. Soil Essa, signing off.
Dr. Brendan Matthews.
Dr. Nassim Sharif.
Donnie Pitbull for me. I don't remember to pop me a follow on Instagram, Donnie Pitbull, but signing off.
Cheers. See you guys next week.